Taking over the host chair after Jon Stewart left The Daily Show, Trevor Noah faced a high bar. After all, he was a South African comedian riffing on America's issues, just as he's done in this election.
Washington, Lincoln, Roosevelt, Kennedy, Reagan, Obama, and now Trump. One of these things is not like the other. And if you're thinking it's Obama because he's black, you probably voted for Trump.
Trevor Noah and his comedy were shaped in a big way by the politics of his home country. He was born in 1984 to a white father and a black mother, the rarest of rare unions under South Africa's oppressive system of apartheid. His mother was pretty, with a strong sense of adventure and a taste for fun. Still, marriage to his Swiss father was out of the question. Even their relationship was against the law, and became even more complicated after the evidence of it, that would be Trevor, arrived.
My mom dressing up in disguise as a maid so that she wasn't questioned as to why she was in a white area. She looked like she was my caretaker as opposed to being my mother. The same would go for my father, not holding my hand or anything because he couldn't be seen to be the father of a mixed-race child. You know, I'm running down the street and he's running away because he doesn't want us to get into trouble. And I think I'm playing a game. And what you don't realize is that they're basically running away from the law.
In his poignant new memoir called Born a Crime, Trevor Noah finds humor even in the toughest times in Johannesburg. It details the peculiar and charged racial world he had to navigate as a little boy, not quite black, not quite white.
So you were considered superior to a black person, but inferior to a white person. And so, as crazy as it sounds, in my own family, I would have been given more privileges than my own mother and half of my family, and I would have been given fewer privileges than my father and the other half of my family. And so,
the white half.
Yeah, the white half.
There's a story, and again, it's a strange, and you make it funny in moments, but also not story about your grandmother not ever paddling you, you know, not ever punishing you.
Yes.
Where she would punish your cousins who were not mixed.
My grandmother and grandfather were very much from a world where they had been taught the importance of, you know, respect between the races. So my own grandmother treated me as if I were a person who was of a higher standing than they were. In her eyes, I was closer to being the white man than I was a member of the family. So she was terrified of administering any form of discipline. You know, and my mom always used to be, she'd be furious about that. She'd go like, oh, you should hit him harder than the rest. He's the naughtiest of all of them. And my grandma was like, oh, she'd always say, she'd be like, oh, I can't hit him. I can't, ooh, he's going to become black and blue and green. I don't know what to do with white children. Black children are easy. You can hit them. They stay the same. She's like, ooh, I can't hit that one. I can't hit white children.
Well, your mother, Patricia Noah, she comes across as an extraordinary woman. I mean, I'm not even sure where to begin to ask you about her.
Why? I can't even
begin,
to be honest. She is
amazing.
I think, you know what happened, funny enough? When I started writing the book, I thought I was writing a series of essays about growing up in South Africa and just a series of funny stories in and around how I had been brought up. By the time I was finished, I realized essentially I had written a story about a mother and a son. A story of a single mother, because that's what she was forced to be by the law, raising a child in a world where the two of them were many times almost like outlaws. I've always loved my mom and I've always thought she's amazing, but even I was shocked at how amazing she was. My mother went from eating food with pigs in a village off the east coast of South Africa, and then just looking at how far she brought herself and how she did it with nothing in the face of what seemed like an unending system that wasn't meant for her to succeed.
She would always say, don't fight the system, mock the system.
Yeah. My mom never believed in the norm. She still doesn't. And she wouldn't fight it. She would expose it by living her life, I guess. So when my mom learned how to type when she took a secretarial course, it was the most ridiculous thing she could have ever done. Even when taking the course, the person said to her, you do realize how ridiculous this is. Black people work in the service industry. You work as a maid. You work as a gardener. There is no job for you where you are working on a typewriter. And my mother said, I don't care. And she took a typing course. And when the country, started employing a few black people into major corporations. Now my mother had a skill that very few black people possessed, and that was typing. She found ways to break the system. She found ways to exist beyond what people said she could do.
And in the midst of all of this, you describe what it means to have been you, you and your mother, on any given Sunday, where you got into high theological debates.
Yes.
Yes. Church was her way of spending Sunday.
Yeah. My mom, she became a born-again Christian, and every Sunday was three churches. Because I guess, you know, there was different Jesus at all of them. I loved the Bible and Sunday school. But at some point, you're just like, I get it. Can we just skip a few of these and go home?
Although you did try and argue your way out of it, usually citing that maybe Jesus didn't really want you to go to church. He wanted you to...
Oh, yeah, all the time. I would say I have a headache. My mother would say, pray to Jesus to get rid of the headache. Then I would say, or you could give me some money to go and buy some aspirin. And she would say, no, just pray and the headache will go away. And then I'd say, oh, I've already prayed that God will give us money so that I can go buy aspirin, and I will pray to thank him for the medicine that he has given me. And so we would always have these little, what I thought were very high-minded arguments about religion and the different ways in which we process the information.
Reading this book, I got the impression that you were, without ever knowing it, on a path to exactly where you are now. But I'm wondering what you think. I mean, did all these experiences set you up for comedy?
I think it set me up for where I am now in life. More of my comedy and my showbiz and that feeling came for me partly from my mother, came for me from the world that I lived in. But I always say to people, I go, I think I was a comedian before I knew that comedy as a line of work existed. So I was just doing it without getting paid. And then luckily I've made up for that.
Well, thank you very much for spending the time to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Renee.
Trevor Noah, host of The Daily Show, his memoir is called Born a Crime.